Hello, and welcome to show number 2613 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
I can't give you like a percentage exactly, but the amount of productivity as a Braille-only user at this point is much higher than when I was trying to do these same tasks with a single-line display.
And you'll hear how dramatically work has changed for today's guest using the Monarch Braille display.
On last week's show, we talked with Aaron Sigmund from the American Printing House about the Monarch Braille display, which features your choice of multi-line Braille or graphics and can dramatically reshape how somebody approaches their daily work by making complex tasks more efficient and intuitive. This week, we'll speak with Scott Davert, a day-to-day user, about the features of the Monarch Braille display from the perspective of a user, the RISE program, and the Monarch's ongoing development. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Scott Davert.
So my tip would be Microsoft Office. Let's go with that on Windows. So everybody knows Office is a very complex program with a very complex menu system, and it can be kind of a challenge to find what you're looking for. So Microsoft has done a cool thing in introducing the command Alt-Q. And when you press Alt-Q on your keyboard, you can type in pretty much anything you're looking for. It'll pull up file names, but let's say, for example, I wanted to create a heading within my Word document. I could just type headings into it, and it'll pull up a list of results. Some of them which include certain, you know, specific heading levels that you want to set your selected text to. So Alt-Q, that's my tip of the week. Use that whenever you're lost in the ribbons in Microsoft Office. I should add it is not a screen reader specific command. So even if you're someone that uses Fusion, or maybe you don't use any kind of adaptive software at all on your PC, no problem. Alt-Q works for everybody.
Help is a good thing, especially if it's really easy to get to.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the My Tools for Living retail store at the Chicago Lighthouse, offering tools and technologies to support everyday life across the vision loss spectrum, as well as ongoing advice. More information is available at mytoolsforliving.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by reintroducing Aaron from last week and meeting Scott.
Last week, we talked with Aaron Sigmund from the APH about the Monarch graphical Braille display and some of the nice programs they have to distribute them to people. And this week, we'll actually talk with a user of the Monarch. But first, Aaron, maybe you can reintroduce yourself and tell us what you do at APH.
Hi there. Glad to be back. My name is Aaron Sigmund, and I am the project director for the Monarch RISE project here at APH, and I'm excited to have a participant joining the call today to do most of the talking so I can sit back and celebrate Scott's accomplishments.
And as Aaron mentioned, our participant today is Scott, who is an actual user of the Monarch in his job. So Scott, tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, and happy 15 years on the podcast and 40 on a marriage. That is fantastic. I listened to that episode. It's great to be back, first of all, a little over a year since we did the Apple Viz podcast. And what do? I ask myself that every day I wake up. I am the lead research and training specialist for the Helen Keller National Center, which is located on Long Island, but I live here in Michigan. And I work a lot with clients in a six-state region on Braille training as well as adaptive technology training. And I also have a research component to my job where I look at all different kinds of technology that's out there and advise companies on how to make it more usable for individuals with both vision and hearing loss. And the Monarch is very fortunately, one of the devices that I have access to thanks to the RISE program.
Do you have both a vision loss and a hearing loss?
Yes. I was born blind due to a disease called retinal dysplasia. And as my life went along, I started acquiring more and more of a hearing loss. Say it's progressive, but I don't really feel very progressive about it, to be honest. But it is what it is, and it is a heck of a lot better than it would be thanks to a lot of the technology that we now have access to that we didn't before.
And it is for Scott and other people with similar issues that we've started posting transcripts of every episode. You know, just because you've got a vision loss doesn't mean your hearing is perfect, and sometimes having a transcript is easier to deal with than audio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's also great for when people do Google searches, right? If you talk about something specific in the podcast, they can find it through your transcript. So, you know, that's another added advantage. But I appreciate that you guys are doing that. You know, access is really important. And indeed, there are people who are blind who also, for example, wear hearing aids or don't have any hearing at all. Or maybe they just like reading the transcript. If they're hearing my voice, they probably all wish they were reading the transcript.
So, Scott, as a user of the Monarch, we'll talk a little bit about how you use that in your profession. But for people who might have missed last week's episode in which we described the device, give us a very quick overview of what the device actually is.
Sure. So the device is about the size of a large laptop, I would say. And it has a Perkins-style keyboard on the front of it. And the main focus, if you will, of the device would be the large tactile display, 10 lines with 32 cells. So it gives you access to multi-line, and there's also the capability to plug into an HDMI port, and of course you have USB-C for charging or connecting to external devices.
And the reason you might want to connect an HDMI port is because you can also use this display for graphics, right?
Yeah, you can use it for graphics. And it's great, for example, if you're in an education environment, you know, you may have a student checking out a tactile graphic, or they may be reading Braille. You know, it's possible when connected through HDMI to follow visually what is being displayed on the Monarch.
Now, I'm guessing you obviously follow technology and were aware of the Monarch when it was being developed by the American Printing House. And then they started this Monarch RISE program where they were offering these devices to professional people and students. How did you first find out about the programs that they were offering to distribute these devices?
I believe the first place I saw it posted was on a mailing list. I had debated whether to apply for it because I'm always of the mindset that there are probably 100 people that can do what I do better. But when I saw the program, I was like, yeah, this is exactly what this device needs. You know, it's not a low-cost device. I think we all know that. But the amount of value that it can bring to the workplace or in education is just astounding. You know, I was very skeptical in the beginning of how much I would like multi-line because I've been a Braille user for 40 years now. So I was so used to the one-line system, I was like, this is just going to be really overwhelming. But now that I've had access to multi-line Braille, thanks to the Monarch, I've totally changed my tune on that. It has really sped up a lot of things for me in terms of my daily work as well as, you know, leisure reading.
How long have you had the device now?
I guess about 7 months now.
And what do you find you're using it for primarily? You indicated that you use it at work and at home.
Well, I work from home primarily, unless I'm on the road working with clients or going to a conference. But a lot of what I use it for is captioning. So imagine yourself only having access to 40 characters of a transcript at a time. And that's on a, you know, a 40-cell display, which is what I used in here previously, the Mantis, another APH product. But a lot of what I do is use it for captioning because I can read several lines of captioning, which help me stay up on the conversation that I'm having. For example, this podcast, I'm using captioning to keep up with what you guys are saying. I'm kind of following in audio, but I'm falling back on captioning a lot because of my hearing loss. So I use it for that. I also use it for document editing. And that is something that really has helped in terms of much more heavy editing, you know, on paperwork and things like that. So I use it a lot with document editing as well.
You know, I think Braille is a very important asset for a blind person, particularly in a professional environment. But another aspect is working in a professional environment. There's lots of documents that you process, email notes, and formatting for sighted people gives an important impression as to your own work. So I wanted to make sure things were formatted properly and they looked like the documents that my sighted colleagues were distributing amongst each other. And I would guess you rely on that similarly.
Yeah, it's really changed a lot of even the way I read, because I know where the indents on a paragraph are now. And when you're reading through lots and lots of material, that's important, right? You know, people get long-winded and you're like, okay, I got the point. I only have so many hours in a day. With a single line display, you can, you know, use your screen reader to navigate by paragraphs. But it's just so much faster when I can kind of skim and find that indent for that next paragraph, for example. The other thing that I am starting to use it for is Excel and spreadsheets, which I'm still getting the hang of. I was born blind, and so I think that's part of my issue, is my brain has never seen a spreadsheet in anything other than a single line format. Or back when I used to use speech, you know, of course you can get the column and the row spoken and things like that through keyboard commands. So I'm actually discovering the value of spreadsheets that I never understood before, or they were so complicated to access on a single line, I'd pretty much give up. You know, now I'm getting to the point where I can open, say, a spreadsheet in Excel with JAWS and look at the spreadsheet and kind of get an idea of what's going on. And, you know, in a lot of professional environments these days, Excel is heavily used. So it's a really important aspect of employment that individuals who are Braille users are now gaining more equal access to. And it just makes a huge difference.
So some spreadsheets can get quite large. And we discussed in last week's episode with Aaron the fact that you can scroll around the full document up and down and side to side using the Monarch device. How important is that to you when you're working on a spreadsheet or some other document?
It's always important to have as many navigation options as you can get, you know, because, well, you just don't know what the most effective way to navigate a specific situation will be. The other thing that I really like is editing. I don't like editing in the sense that I want to read all kinds of work and you know, tell people how to fix things. But what I like is the way in which you can route the cursor on the Monarch. You know, Braille displays, the single line models have cursor routing buttons where you can press a button that is located above one of the Braille cells and the cursor will jump to that point. Well, through a different method, I believe it's called point and click, you're able to route the cursor anywhere on that Braille display you want to begin editing. It took a little bit of getting used to, but that has made a huge difference in terms of my efficiency at editing Word documents. The amount of productivity as a Braille-only user at this point is much higher than when I was trying to do these same tasks with a single-line display. And reading, for me, with a multi-line display is a lot more enjoyable than a single line.
I was wondering how, when you're reading text, the display refreshes. Does it refresh line by line and sort of scroll up, or does it refresh a whole page at a time, or do you have the option?
Yeah, so you have the option, and you can pan by full display length. So if you've got 10 lines of Braille and you hit the pan down button, you'll get 10 new lines of Braille. So it just follows right along. And then, of course, if you want to route the cursor, you can do that as well, like I described earlier. So for JAWS in particular, it's really a great device. They've really taken multi-line on now, and it makes a huge difference. But here's the other thing. You know, I keep bringing up screen readers and access to PCs. There are a lot of internal applications as well on the Monarch. For example, Tactile View is the program that allows you to access APH's tactile graphics library. And it has a lot of different tactile diagrams and things, maps, things like that, that you can download internally that are fully accessible with labels, you know, in text, which is important because a lot of images on the web don't have that. And the thing about these graphics is that you can zoom in and out with two different buttons on the Monarch. Of course, you can pan up and down, like I said, but you can also zoom in and out. So, for example, let's say you have a map of the United States and you're looking at the entire thing, but you kind of want to see maybe more the shape of the West Coast, for example. You can zoom in on the West Coast, just like a sighted user, and get more of a view of California and Oregon and Washington.
This is Erin from APH chiming in to share that there are over 2,500 tactile graphics on the Tactile Graphic Image Library, and more to come, being developed specifically for employment through the Monarch Rise project. So we'll have even more graphics coming your way, Scott.
I'm looking forward to it. I knew it was huge, but I didn't know it was that big. So thanks, Erin.
So, Scott, you've been talking about all of the things that you've been able to do using the Monarch device and how you had to learn a lot to be able to use it in so many ways. And I understand you've been a participant in the RISE program, which is specifically geared towards teaching the people who get the devices how to use them. Can you talk a little bit about your participation in the RISE program and remind our listeners of what RISE stands for?
So RISE stands for Resources for Information, Skills, and Employment. That's pretty much encompasses what it is. As part of the RISE program, working on developing resources to help other people who are coming in. You know, this is kind of a mentoring thing. I know you talked about that a bit yesterday. And one of the things that has really helped me is having the time to communicate with peers who are also in the program. For example, I think it was late last year, I helped facilitate a discussion panel on what's working with the Monarch, what isn't working with the Monarch, and what is kind of working but could be improved, essentially, is what we were looking at. So all of us who were available that were in the program had a little meeting and just had a discussion about what was working for us and what wasn't. And it was really nice to be able to be a part of that, you know, and not only contribute what I had learned, but also to learn from others. And there were also the APH Hive, and that had a course that basically orients you to the Monarch, talks about how to use different aspects of it, and things like that. So it was a really great way to be brought into this ecosystem, which is rapidly expanding. And I have no doubt that the new people coming into the program, when they do, will be happy with it as well. And so it's really been a situation where it's been great to kind of collaborate with peers, but it's also nice to know that it's going to continue to expand and hopefully help even more people coming up or people looking for work to get that work and to be more effective at it.
As we discussed with Erin last week, that is really a great community group that APH put together, because This is not a simple, refreshable Braille display that people are used to. It's a rather sophisticated device, and you may not know how to use all the tools that are built into it and all the ways you can use it. And to be able to share those ideas with other people is really important and can really make a difference.
Yeah, I would agree. And the other thing I would add is it's such a sophisticated device that it takes a lot of people to really explore its full potential.
So you mentioned that this works with the various screen readers on PCs and presumably Macs, and it has its own independent software applications inside. Does it also work with iOS devices?
Well, the news for JAWS, like I said, is fantastic. There's a lot of still developing things going on with it, different split views. And there's also some pretty good development on the NVDA front. Some of that requires an add-on called Braille Extender, but, you know, it's a work in progress. It's definitely lagging further behind on iOS. I don't know the status of macOS. I don't use macOS very often. I know I'm an Apple Viz guy. You'd think I would, right?
Well, that's why I asked you. But anyway, it's taken even the screen readers for PCs some time to develop the software to interface with these devices. And it's nice to know that Apple is also working on supporting the Monarch devices. And I'm sure it'll just take some time and they'll get it working too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good news is that we do have a lot of internal applications on this device. So, you know, in the meantime, it's not like the features aren't being leveraged. They are, just in a different way than we, I think, hoped at this point. You know, I really think screen reader development needs to continue and hopefully will speed up.
And you briefly mentioned the split view, which is a relatively new feature even on single-line Braille displays. But can you give people a quick idea of what that's about on the Monarch?
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more of a magical feature on multi-line than a single line. You know, a single line kind of gets cramped. But essentially what it does is it allows you to split your view, kind of like how you have that option as a sighted user. You know, maybe it's through dual monitors, or you can set up even on a single monitor different ways to accomplish that. But what split view does is it allows you to look at two different things at the same time. It might be the status of something in one area and a program in another. So it allows you to track different types of status items. Also, for example, there's a view that allows you to have access to text from one program, then there's a divider, and then you might on the other side have a different program. Say, for example, you had a Word document and you wanted to copy text out of that Word document into Outlook. That's an option. So it's a really handy feature, and definitely more so on something that has multiple lines.
Well, it sounds like you've certainly found some great uses for this device in your daily work and your daily life. And it's great that you're in a position to provide feedback for the improvements in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, like I said, really a game changer. I don't use that word very often. The multi-line Braille situation is certainly one of those for me as a pretty much full-time Braille user. You know, I transitioned from using speech into Braille. And for so many years, I was so frustrated with it. You know, you're scrolling a single line at a time. It's really tough to increase Braille reading speed on such a limited piece of real estate. So having the access to the Monarch allows me to also, like I said, read much more efficiently and also more quickly. So it's really changed a lot of the way I do things.
Aaron, given that you're passing out these devices for free, I gather you're receiving funding from somebody. Who do you get your primary sources of funds from?
For the Monarch Rise project, our primary source of funds is the Disability Innovation Fund grant. Our award number is H421F240052. From the U.S. Department of Education Rehabilitation Services Administration. The department does not mandate or prescribe practices, models, or other activities described or discussed in this podcast. The contents of this podcast may contain examples of, adaptations of, and links to resources created and maintained by another public or private organization. The department does not control or guarantee the accuracy, relevance, timeliness, or completeness of this outside information. The content of this podcast does not necessarily represent the policy of the department, and this podcast is not intended to represent the views or policy of, or be an endorsement of any views expressed or materials provided by any federal agency.
Erin, where would you send people to get more information about the Monarch and the Monarch Rise program?
To learn about the Monarch and Monarch projects, visit www.aph.org/meet-monarch.
And if somebody has a question that they want to ask, how would they do that?
If you have a question about the Monarch Rise project, you can reach me and my team at rise@aph.org. If you have a question about the Monarch Student Pilot Project, you can reach the Monarch Student Pilot Project team at mspp@aph.org. And if you have a question about the Monarch in general, or you're not quite sure where to go, you can reach out to our dedicated Monarch support team at monarchsupport@aph.org.
Is there a phone number people can call?
There is. If you would like to reach our Monarch support by phone, you can reach us at 833-447-8444, and they'll connect you to the person or project that interests you.
Well, Scott, thank you so much. You've certainly been a great spokesperson for this program. Your enthusiasm is quite obvious, and hopefully other people will get an opportunity to test out the device and the program that you've been a part of.
Yeah, it's really great to be not only in the program, but to have access to these tools and also help develop them. I'm really happy to be part of it and happy to be utilizing the Monarch in so many different ways.
And if you missed any of that information in the audio, you can find it in the show notes for episode 2613.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about how artificial intelligence can reshape daily life for blind users in both professional and personal settings. We'll talk with Richard Rutta and Tiffany Kim about using ChatGPT, Be My Eyes, and other tools for reading text, describing images, boosting productivity, and creating content.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, available wherever you get your podcasts.
For show notes, resources, and more information, visit our website at eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, I'm Peter Torpy.
And I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy. Thank you for listening.